just going to read it, starting in verse 2. I'm going to read verses, chapter 2, and I'll read verses 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So that's a really famous passage. You all have heard it like 1,000 times probably.
Christmas.
What's that?
They had it memorized.
I know. Yeah, that's right. This is Christmas. And you look at this. Christmas is the glory of God. Look at verse 9. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Look at verse 14. This is what the angels are saying. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Look at verse 20. This is the shepherds. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. I mean, just three times there from verses 8 to 20, God's glory is central to this whole story. This is the glory of God. And if you go prior to this, which we looked at before, you know, Mary in chapter 1, verse 46, when she finds out all that's going to happen to her, she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." That's Mary about this whole story that's going to take place. And then you get Zechariah in verse 68, chapter 1. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." Bless his name. This is what's going on with this story. There's the glory of God and the praise and joy being given over this story. And so Christmas is the glory of God. Mary glorifies God. Zechariah glorifies God. The angels glorify God. The shepherds glorify God. Mm-hmm. Everywhere you look, that's what's going on in this story. And so if you do not see the glory of God lying in a manger, you missed Christmas. Because that's what it is. And of course, unfortunately, that's most people. They don't see that in Christmas. They don't see that that's what it is. They're so busy with Christmas that they miss Christmas. They're busy with everything except the glory of God. But the glory of God is the main point. You miss that, you miss everything. Tonight and tomorrow, I want to just challenge you at some point, take some time, both on your own and together with, you know, your family or whoever, and praise God for what he's done in sending his son. And wonder and marvel at the beauty of the incarnation. And be grateful for the coming of your Savior, because that's actually what Christmas is about. And so do that sometime, tonight and tomorrow, and not just tomorrow, keep doing it. And so Christmas is really a wondrous story, for the glory of God is hidden in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And my picture of the multitude of angels when they appear to the shepherds praising God, my picture is that this was very loud. That's my picture. Maybe I'm wrong. It doesn't say they were loud. It doesn't say they had amps or anything. But that's how I picture this whole scene. But the loud whatever it was to the shepherds, the proclamation of the glory of God to the shepherds, it was out in the fields. It was away from town, away from all the people. And when it was over, it was over. It lasted, I don't know, a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it was. But it was done, and it was done. My picture of the shepherds, after they hear the news and they go to, let's go see what happened in Bethlehem, and they go and they look around and, hey, here's the baby in the manger. That's what they said. And they find the baby in the manger, and they marvel at it, and they go around telling everybody. My picture is they're really excited as they're doing that. But they eventually return to their fields. And that baby very soon leaves for Egypt. And then he goes back up to Nazareth, and he grows up in Nazareth, not down in Bethlehem. So all the people that got that news, they probably don't even know who this baby is. He didn't hang around. And so here's God. He announces his glory and keeps it hushed at the same time. He's loud and quiet. He's public and private at the same time. And at Christmas, the glory of God may be shouted for the shepherds, but it's whispered to the world. It's just some far-off corner of the world. It's not Rome. The center of the world here at this time would have been Rome. If you want to shout it to the world, you go to Rome. And even if it's the religious world amongst the Jews, Jerusalem, no, it's Bethlehem. And it's not even Bethlehem where it gets shouted. It's out in the fields, outside Bethlehem somewhere. And so this is how God does business, so to speak. This is how he makes his announcements. And the glory of God is, there's glory here because this is such good news. That's what they said. Verse 10, the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news." This is good news. That's that the glory of God is good news. Or maybe I should say good news is the glory of God. I don't know which way you want to say that, but that's Christmas. Christmas is the glory of God. Christmas is good news. And what is the good news? They tell them, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." That is the good news. The good news is that your Savior has come. So here's the thing. Savior means you need saving. That's what Savior means. If you don't need saving, then you don't need a Savior. If you kind of think you're this really, I'm cool, I got this, I'm good. You don't think you're in any particular trouble because of your sin. Then Christmas really isn't good news for you, because the message is a Savior is born. But if you don't think you need saving, what's the big deal? The angels are talking about this like it's a big deal. The shepherds are all as well, as if this is a big deal. They understand they need saving. And the angels know that we all need saving. And so this is a big deal to them. But to so many people, it's not that big of a deal, because they just think they're fine. Saviors are only good news to people who need saving. You know, if you're drowning in the river and someone comes to save you, that's good news. But if you're sitting at dinner eating a steak and someone comes to save you, And so the good news of Christmas is only good news when you and I actually see our sin. Because that's where we see our need for a Savior. And that's what Christmas is. "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." But when you do, when you see your sin and you see your need for God and for saving, this good news becomes good news of great joy. Because that's what the angel said. "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people." You rejoice because you were dead, but now you have life. The Savior gives us life. We had no hope, but the Savior comes and gives us hope. This is why Christmas is such good news. This is why it's joy. You go from death to life. That's joy. This is what Christmas is, and it's for all the people. What that means in their context, immediate context, it probably means Jews and Gentiles, for all the people. It's not just for you shepherds. It's not just for you Jews. It's for all the people. But it means men and women. It means black and white. It means Asian and Hispanic. It means children and elderly. It means rich and poor. It means think of any other categories you want to think of. All the people covers it. It's for everybody. And so Christmas is for everybody. Not everybody sees the good news. Not everybody has great joy in what Christmas really is. But it is for everybody. And it is good news of great joy for everybody. It's for all the people because all the people need a Savior. And so at Christmas, the Savior came for the world. That is the glory of God. That is why angels sing. That is why shepherds proclaim this message. Jesus came to rescue us from sin. That is good news. It's news you and I need to remember this Christmas and beyond. Because if you do, you'll rejoice.